Okay, I'm going to do a fast unofficial roll call. So this will not count for attendance because we do the official one during the meeting. This is just to see, is there a quorum around? And if there is, we can start. Phil, please answer up when you hear your name. Joan DiLorenzo.
I'm here.
Jack DePalma. Noel Jameson.
Here.
Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza.
I'm on the line, Paul, too.
Who are you?
I'm Bob Henley. Who are you?
Oh, okay. All right. Let me just get through with this. Matt Mazza. Carolyn McIntyre. Allie Murphy.
Here.
Serene Roberts. James Sagerton. Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Michael D.D. White. M.K. Williams.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, that's six, and we're one short of a quorum, so anytime now somebody will show up.
Somebody has to mute their background or something.
Okay, I see some people showing up, so let's see if other people are here. I'm not going to call the people I've just called. I'm just going to call people who haven't answered yet. Jack DePalma, are you here? Matt Mazza, are
Hello,
you here?
Hello, I'm Paul.
Jack DePalma, okay, you're here. Matt Mazza, are you here? Marilyn McIntyre asked for an excused absence. Serene Roberts, same. James Sagerton, are you here? Michael D.D. White asked for an excused absence. However, we have seven, and that is indeed a quorum. So let's get going here, and I'll hit that. Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is the WBAI local station board meeting. No, it's not. This is the WBAI local station board finance committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI local station board treasurer. Well, that could be controversial as a statement too, I suppose. And I chair this meeting. So the first thing we're required to do is adopt an agenda, which is required to take no more than 20 minutes, and we'll see how close it comes to that. So, I move we adopt the following agenda. 1. Call to order 7 p.m. 2. Approval of agenda 20 minutes. 3. Identify timekeeper 2 minutes. 4. Excused absences 5 minutes. 5. Minutes approval, 5 minutes. 6. Treasurer's report, 20 minutes. 7. WBAI manager's report on WBAI's finances, 60 minutes. 8. Set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 9. New business, 10. Adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's the motion on the floor. Is there any debate on that motion or questions on it? Hearing none, is there any objection to going to a vote on the motion to approve the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as read? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. So the next thing we do is we identify a timekeeper. And who would like to be the timekeeper for this meeting? Oh,
I'll do it. Well,
okay, Jeffrey's turn,
it.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so Jeffrey Stern has volunteered to be the timekeeper. Is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is now the timekeeper. Next we have excused absences. And we have a couple. And I'm a bit slow in moving some of this stuff around and keeping track right now because my problem with my shoulder is worse. So I'm, ouch, this hurts. So let me check email and see if anybody's dropped in. Okay, yes, somebody else has. Got in just under the wire. Okay. Okay. Write this down. Over here. Okay. Okay, I move to excuse. Somebody's name down twice. I move to excuse Serene Roberts, Carolyn McIntyre, and Michael D.D. White. So that's the motion on the floor. Ready to debate on that motion? Hearing none. Motion is passed without objection. Okay, next item is minutes approval. Okay, M.K. Williams, you have the floor.
Okay. Well, I sent the minutes, I think I sent it a week before the LSB meeting because I was sending minutes and it was done, so I sent it. So it's been sent and you've all received it, hopefully. And that was for, when was the last meeting? In June. Of course, I don't have my calendar handy, but
June 18th.
Yeah, I sent them before the a week before the
June 18th.
Okay, and I sent
meeting.
Them I think Wednesday the 2nd of July.
So you're making a motion that we approve the minutes.
Yes, I'm making a motion that we approve the minutes.
Okay, is there any debate or any questions on the minutes that or the question? Any debate on the motion or question about the minutes themselves?
When did Kay send them? I remember reading them, Kay, but when did you send them? I want to read them again.
Oh, I sent them. I just said that. Now let's look at it. All right. I sent them on July 2nd, a week before
okay.
the LSB.
Yeah, yeah, it was a while ago. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so is there any debate on the motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to going to a vote on the motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to passing the motion to approve the minutes of the June 18th meeting? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. Next, we will have a treasurer's report, and I will give that as soon as I can move my arm. Oh, God. Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. The June 24th, 2025 NFC meeting was canceled. On kpftx.org, it just says, quote, lack of quorum, unquote. Not terribly, you know, informative. So that seems to be the official reason for the second cancellation in a row of an NFC meeting. The quorum, as per the New Day et al. Bylaws, would only be three directors. So the committee appears to have had at least three directors say they couldn't make the meeting because there were only five of them. They don't count the treasurers as a part of the committee anymore, and at least not for quorum. At the July 8th, 2025 NFC meeting, the KPFT general manager gave a narrative about their preliminary FY26 budget and some of what they've been doing to raise funds. At one point, he said that they had to change some of how they pitched on the air because of the FCC ruling. So they were doing that sort of pitching too, but only WBAI had to pay a $25,000 fine to the Federal Communications Commission. I suppose that the reason for that is because no one from the New Day et al. Clique at KPFA had rushed to file a complaint against KPFT with the FCC as they did with WBAI. I think it's unfair that we had to pay the whole thing when others had done it and may still be doing it. At the next NFC meeting, there will be discussion about a Pacifica Foundation Financial Policies and Procedures Manual. And the executive director has sent that out, and it's long, and we're going to discuss that, I guess, at the next meeting. A motion was made and passed about requiring that a station's budget or actuals, that when a station's budget or actuals are being discussed at the NFC, that the station's interim general manager or general manager and business manager, if the station has one, be at the NFC meeting, along with the national business manager if she's available. The NFC got to an item on the agenda called, quote, Motion Instructing GMs, Stations in Financial Distress, boy, that was badly worded, to provide a grid analysis and report to the NFC, unquote. And I have to say, WBAI has historically not been able to figure out what every program raises, because that's what this means. They want to look and see what programs raise how much money. And, you know, with the idea that, well, if you're not raising enough money, we're going to, you know, take you off the air, which is, you know, something that a lot of people have said should be done. And the thing is, well, so anyway, this could stir up problems because, you know, removing people from the air, removing programs from the air on data that doesn't relate to reality, or if management can't, you know, figure out the data very well, would be a problem. And as I said, WBAI has had a historic problem with not being able to really figure out that metric. I doubt that other stations are much better, if at all. So, yeah, this is a this may be a problem, or it may just be people posturing, and that's all it'll be, you know, amount to. And in my opinion, as a producer, the amount of money raised should not be the sole criterion for a program's existence. But we'll see what the hell happens. You know, some listeners will think of that, and the listeners really hold the complete hold on the entire network at this point in time. Oh well. Anyway, so at that meeting of the NFC, I brought up the fact that at the May 13th NFC meeting, the executive director has said that the FY22 990s had been done and would be posted soon, but had not been posted yet. And the executive director said that, oh, yeah, they've already been submitted to the IRS, and she would get a clean copy, as she called it, and get it posted on the Pacifica website. And that has finally been done. 2 months after she said it would be done. I also reminded the executive director that she had said at the hidden NFC meeting of June 10th that she'd send me 2 years of WBAI bank statements. She said she would send those out. We'll see. I haven't gotten them yet. I will note that we are in the fourth quarter of FY25, and the latest income statement we have is for FY24, which ended on September 30th, 2024. So, you know, people, even people who are part of the majority on the NFC are getting a bit bothered by the fact that we don't have financial information that we need in order to make decisions or make recommendations. So this is a big problem in Pacifica, and the executive director says this is because they are so focused on getting the audits done that the national office can't get around to anything else, which could be a problem. We also have the situation of the nations are bringing in their, not their actuals and what they've done, there's no income statement, they're bringing in proposed preliminary FY26 budgets. And, you know, that's kind of nice, but it's not one thing or another. And it would be good to be able to sit down and look at what the actuals are for each station. Some of these preliminary budgets have some bit of actuals in them, but they're not accurate. So that's not the way to do things. Anyway, that is what's happening. The next NFC meeting is scheduled for July 22nd, 2025 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and that meeting will be held by teleconference, and that is the Treasurer's Report. Are there any questions or anything about the Treasurer's Report?
Paul?
Okay, let's take a stack.
Jack
DePalma?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yes, Ali Murphy.
Okay, Ali Murphy. Anybody
This is Sergeant Mario reporting for duty.
Okay, that's Mario. Anybody else want to be on the stack to ask a question about the Treasurer's Report? Okay, let's start with Jack. Jack, go ahead.
The way you talk of it, Paul, you almost give it air. The idea that the the National Finance Committee, even though three directors, did not meet. Now, I have heard in the past that that was intentional, at times used against doing things that they didn't want to do. And since it's a assumption that this is the taken over, bureaucracy, hierarchy of Pacifica governance, isn't it true that just not meeting might be the best way for them to handle it? Anything to say about any of that? Because I'm reading tea leaves, but I don't understand what they mean.
Well, you know, that's one interpretation. I mean, I don't know what their motivation would be to not have one of these meetings, except maybe the fact that, you know, management of Pacifica isn't coming up with financial information, which is a problem, as I mentioned. It's a little bit, it's unusual. I don't recall having two NFC meetings in a row canceled before. But, you know, I mean, part of it also
is that
probably,
the case? Is that what happened recently?
That's what happened in this, yeah, it's, in June.
Well,
another
question, Paul. Wouldn't two out of three be a quorum?
No. The quorum, okay,
officially
under the new, okay, Jack, let me complete my statement. Under these New Day et al. Bylaws, the membership of the NFC consists of five directors, and that's it. So a quorum for that would be three.
Okay,
So if he got three directors saying they couldn't make the meeting, that would indicate there isn't going to be a quorum for that meeting. Okay? Okay. Next we have Allie Murphy. You have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, R. Paul. So what you're saying is that right now there are three directors. And how many we had before? Do you know?
No, there are five directors now, and there's always been five directors. However, it had been that besides five directors, there were the five treasurers of the LSBs and the chief financial officer. We haven't had a chief financial officer for years, and they have essentially, in those bylaws they have eliminated the treasurer position, and they don't list the treasurers as being part of the NFC. What's happened is that they made a motion that the treasurers be invited to attend the meetings in an advisory role. And I've already gotten into fights with them about, you know, things like the minutes being irregular and not having information. The minutes are not being, if you look at kpftx.org, the minutes have not been getting posted. I'll note that the PNB meeting minutes don't get posted too regularly either, and same person's doing both minutes for all of that. So we get into disputes about these things, and they're making it very clear that those of us who are or were, whatever you want to call it, treasurers, are at best second-class members, or no members at all, really. So the total membership is five, so three would be a quorum. And if three say they ain't coming, that leaves two, and that's never going to be a quorum.
Okay. But my question to you, R. Paul, is, so right now there are five, and they have to cancel the meeting. So with the new bylaws, they will still have five, or it will be reduced?
It'll still be five directors.
Okay, but then it won't be like somebody like you, a treasurer. But then about our group now, this is my question. So what position are we in? And I guess you, because you are, you know, head of this committee. In what position are we right now? So we really, if you don't count, and you're secondary now, so I guess we are out. We are completely non-functional. That's what I would think that we are now.
Who we?
As the committee, us as the committee, because if they don't take you seriously in that NFC and you're not part of the NFC, and with that new bylaws, what is our position? That's what I'm saying.
Well,
that position as our committee right now.
Okay. The position of this committee is a bit of up in the air, I'd say. I'm keeping on doing it. I'm behaving as treasurer. I make the written treasurer's reports. I do treasurer's reports at the LSB meeting. I chair this committee. So I'm keeping on going. And if they're not going to shut us down or something, we'll keep on going. If they decide to say, well, you can't do this anymore or something like that, well, we'll see what happens after that. But right now, we're going to keep on going on, and that's going to be it. That's all we can do.
Okay. I have two more questions, but I guess I will let somebody else come in.
Okay.
And if you get it in time, I will come back.
The next person is Mario. Mario, go ahead.
Boy, I tuned in a little late, like just 2-3-4 minutes before you finished. Did you talk about the JC loan? Oh, that's
no.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was that your question?
Well, The FSA, the loan, can you talk about it? What is the balance? And
oh, I haven't gotten one recently. I mean,
all
I,
right,
could,
still,
I could dig
still,
back.
Still,
I could dig back. Okay, go ahead, Mario.
It still exists, and they owe it. And am I correct? They're only paying the interest every 3 months. They're not paying in the principal.
As far as I know.
And the interest is...
Okay, I'd have to go look this up, and I can't do it in the middle of a meeting.
I think the interest is about $47,000 every 3 months.
All right. You know what, Mario? The written treasurer's reports have the latest information on this, and that latest information will be from some months ago. So you can go look those up and see how they go. All right?
All right. Thanks.
All right. Right now, I am going to – oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the formal roll call right now. And we'll do that and get it in there so we are thinking of ourselves as perfectly legal. All right. This is a formal roll call. This counts for whether you're here or not. Please answer up when you hear your name. Joan DiLorenzo.
I'm here.
Jack DePalma.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Noel Jameson.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza.
Here.
Carolyn McIntyre is excused. Allie Murphy.
Here.
Serene Roberts is excused. James Sagerton. Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Michael D.D. White is excused.
I'm here. I'm here.
Michael D.D. White is here. Okay. M.K. Williams.
I'm still here.
Okay, that's 9, and that's more than a quorum, and so we've got that going on. And then we have, well, now we have to make this little announcement here. Let me read it. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI Local Station Board that for the Local Finance Committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the Local Finance Committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. Is there anybody here who wants to give me their name in order to start becoming a member?
That would be Sergeant Mario.
So Mario Mastrandrea.
Start all over again. I got to mute myself because there's a lot
anybody
of background
else?
Music.
Okay. Anybody else want to announce their name and so they can start becoming a member?
Just wanted you to know James is here.
Okay, let me get that in. James Sagerton is present. And okay. All right. We have that. So, is there anybody else with any questions or anything for the treasurer's report? If not, we will go on to the next item of business. Allie Murphy, did you say you had something more you wanted to ask?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Arpon, can you repeat what you said about WBAI needs to pay for something of which the other station they're not required
to do the same?
Yeah.
I'm referring to the FCC problem. where WBAI had to pay a $25,000 fine to the FCC because of the way we handled premiums. And I'm noting that other stations were doing the same thing, and only WBAI had to pay the pay the fine. $25,000 is pretty substantial. And so, yeah, we did that stuff, and others were doing it, but only we got fined for it. And the only difference between WBAI and those other stations, okay, I'll be done in a second, and those other stations is that for WBAI, some people from KPFA filed a complaint with the Federal Communications Commission about it. And so we get nailed for it. The rest of Pacifica says, oh, well, yeah, we're perfectly fine. So, yeah, not fair, I think. Time has been called. Unless somebody wants to extend the time for this meeting, we will go on to the next item. Anybody want to extend time?
I have 1 minute to say something.
You want to make a motion? Okay.
A motion for 1 minute.
Okay, 1 second. Okay. Is the motion is to extend the time for this item by 1 minute. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, that motion is passed. Jack, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. I just was going to ask if you had any comments about the question that was just asked, the meaningfulness of us meeting as a committee, since we don't get data. We haven't gotten data for over 2 years. I mean, we did get something. I just saw it from Bob's email that was sent. He's stuck on a train trying to get home before he can call in. And I do understand that we don't have any.
I'm here on the phone. I've been waiting right along.
I've been here through the whole glorious meeting.
Okay, let Jack. Say what you're going to say.
Okay, well, the point is that we do have meaning in terms of Bob reporting to us, but the other question is, do we have any meaning in terms of the authority of Pacifica? Do they give us any respect? Do they give us any... Thank you, Paul. I'll shut up.
No. They're not doing much. In fact, I'm not sure we're being streamed anymore or archived anymore, so...
I can check that out, Paul. I'll check it for you.
Okay. All right. I think the minute is up.
Time.
Yeah, okay. Time. Minute's up. All right. The next item is the WBAI management's report on WBAI's finances. Mr. Henley, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. So I would just tell you that I would think that one elemental thing of respect would be that I'm here on the call. So I think that's important that that be noted. I had a very unfortunate New Jersey transit killed somebody today, and it's been a hell of a commute. And the skies are about to open up, and I'm standing at the train station. We have $67,000 in the bank. We've made our payroll for, I guess, like the 13th month in a row without having to rely on the other stations or on the mothership, which is something that used to happen with some regularity in the past. We have paid the insurance for our four engineers, which runs $9,600. And we also did receive the $15,000 from the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation to help support the program Destiny and Democracy, which with Brennan Center scholar Chiara Torres-Pellisi, who had Senator Whitehouse on to kick off her program. We are continuing to carry live protest events, and we also had successfully completed the New York Theater Workshop cycle of PSAs for $2,000. And so we're building on major nonprofit organizations looking to us as a place that they can get their information out reliably. We've gone through a major challenge with the heat up in Four Times Square, as you probably saw in the extensive email I sent out. Only in New York City could you spend $17,000 for a large closet and have it not include air conditioning. Jake and I, when we got knocked off the air related to the heat, I went in there. Jake was there for like 3 days, put a box fan in the door. We brought the temperature down. In the process of doing that, and we have invested a few thousand dollars actually doing maintenance, which had not been done for years, including fresh refrigerant, so that we can keep the station on the air. Then in the process of doing this work and in the other work we've been doing, which is to improve the streaming and reliability of the archiving, as you may know, the big mystery question has been, what are our ratings? What kind of Nielsen ratings do we get? What's our share? And because of the prohibitive cost of it, the station is not subscribed to Nielsen. And also that also puts us out of the running for some of the governmental PSA income, because one of the first things they ask is, what is your measured audience? So because of Jake Lance's, I guess, attention to detail, he noticed that Nielsen actually had attached technology that was monitoring both our streaming and our terrestrial broadcast. And so we use that opportunity, because it was old analog material. Jake asked for digital to replace it. And then in the process, we opened up a conversation where we were advised by the executive who is involved with these accounts that we have a 0.3 cum and 130,000 listeners at any given time. And so, funny enough, when this account executive wrote me, he wasn't fully aware that we were a nonprofit. So he said, 0.3 share, 130,000 listeners, there's money to be made, ! At which point, once I apprised him that we were a nonprofit, he sent me to another executive. We're following up on that. On the issue of the cost of the loan, I think that, Mario, I think it's 9.5%, and we're trying to open up a line of communication to FJC through the lobbying firm and strategy firm that Jeff Simmons is a part of, because they represent FJC. We also spoke with Donna Lieberman, whose family is an FJC shareholder. She gave us $1,000. That was very kind. And she also said she put a good word in for us. So we are attempting to address this issue and to try to come up with a new arrangement going forward, because it is tremendously expensive. And we're not, with, like you say, we're treading water, and I think that's an accurate summation, that we're paying interest and not getting to the principal. And I think people are finding, like we just had Katrina Vandehoevel on, and I think people are finding that BAI and Pacifica is providing an important service with all the broadcasting we've done, broadcasting live things like No King's Day. So we continue to attract new programs. We attract people that are, we're finding people are coming back. We had a wonderful gift from Dr. Auerbacher, who gave us a $5,000 contribution. Dr. Auerbacher is a retired member of the U.S. Health Service. He also generously gave a $500 per month BI Buddy commitment, which is the largest such commitment that we've had made. And that is, I guess 200 was the record. So also the TWU came through for a third time with $6,500. You'll be hearing Mr. Samuelson on the radio talking about the importance of organizing and collective action. It's going to begin to start pouring, but I'm here for you if you have any questions.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Let me look at your email. I'll get your exact stuff in there. Where is it? Okay, I'll go. Oh, I'm in. Okay, so, yes, in your email, the exact amount is, at the Bank of America, it's $66,162, and in PayPal, the station has $4,848.
Right.
So there's that. Now, I had a question about one of these things. Okay, so the $9,600 for health insurance, that's a monthly payment, right?
Right, right. And so one of the things about this is that we're in Pacifica has been enrolling using some a health broker, and so there's management employees. I'm not included in that, nor is anybody currently from BAI who's in management, Rebecca or Keziah. None of us are participating in the health plan, but there is a legacy health plan that managers are in, and it's also the same one that union employees are in. I'm in the process now of, because we now have a fifth member of the union. You may remember that Wee Jacobs was being carried illegally and informally as a per diem employee played by Zell, or and the union was going to grieve that and actually file a complaint with the New York Labor Board because he was not being carried appropriately as an employee, even though he was scheduled. So we resolved all that. He's now a member of the union in good standing, part-time, but that, according to the contract, means he's entitled to health insurance. So we're entering into a conversation now with the union because I happen to know that as a veteran broadcaster and SAG-AFTRA pensioner, that I was in the SAG-AFTRA health plan. It wasn't bad. It wasn't terribly expensive. And I'm getting a quote from them to see if there can be a savings there. And then, of course, I'm also consulting with the engineers, asking them how they feel about their current health care, which is not something they've been asked in a long time.
Okay. All right. Let me see. There's something else. That's probably pretty much it. Are you getting, and I'm not asking for them from you, are you getting bank statements from Pacifica Management?
Yeah, we maintain access to Bank of America on a daily basis. Chris Lapuza and I, he has access to it as a business manager. And this is important because, for instance, the $15,000 that came from the Rockefeller Foundation, that it first came into Pacifica, so we track it. The $6,500 came in under a prior. Remember, I raised tens of thousands of dollars before I was general manager. And so some of these unions, when we were doing work on the conventions, had remitted the money directly to Pacifica. And I think it's important to also understand there really isn't a distinction between BI and Pacifica. They're the same entity. But we do have different pockets, and so it's important that when we get a commitment from Mr. Samuelson or another union, that it not be deposited or held in another Pacific account. And sometimes that does happen, not by any nefarious thing, but just because it isn't properly tracked. But we're on top of that. But we do have direct access to Bank of America. We can't write checks on it. We can't withdraw money from it. And that has to do with the issue, the fiscal issues that happened where the station regularly missed payroll and missed premium payments, which became a liability for the entire enterprise.
Okay. And yes, it is extremely important that we make sure that WBAI's funds are not being sent to somebody else. One thing I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it again now. If you look at the finances of Pacifica for 2019, you will notice a big six-figure donation in, I think it's July, certainly sometime in the summer of 2019. And, oh, golly, nobody knows what that was. And I keep telling them, we know what it was. It was a BAI bequest, and Pacifica hijacked it. That's all I can call it now because, you know, when people are telling you that this is what it is and you ignore it and say, oh, we don't know what that is, you're hijacked.
So I wasn't then, right, just to be clear.
I know. It's
not
you're not
holding me accountable for 2019.
No. Okay. No, I'm not. I'm just noting
Right. So not to – one of the things that we're still dealing with is the question of the subcarrier fees. And this is something we regularly press on. We have now found out that the Italian subcarrier is current and that the Spanish is not. This has taken me several months to get this detail. And so I am dealing with the fact that the business agent's position is that Pacifica always took that money and the stations never held on to it. And so I'm making the argument, and as I learned from, and I think you know this, Paul, that Jake Lance, our field engineer, has said that these subcarriers actually limit, although it's not a great deal, they do degrade the quality of the signal that we're transmitting. And so if we were getting the revenue, or the Pacifica was getting the revenue, that would be one thing, but it would be mismanagement to let the signal be degraded and have one of them not pay. And we're still working on that as we speak.
Yes, okay. I can tell you, no, Pacifica didn't always get the SCA income. There was a motion passed by the Pacifica National Board in, oh God, what year was it? I'm thinking about 2005, that said Pacifica will now get all the SCA revenue. And we objected to that. We didn't like that. We screamed about it. They took it. And so,
well,
yes,
it's reckless. It's reckless to not then pay anything towards the underlying asset that is producing that revenue. And that's the point I've been making.
Yes. That was a point we made back then, too. God, that's 20
years
ago.
Hey, we actually agreed. You should write that down.
Oh, God, please don't do that. Anyway, so yes, this is something. And yes, I remember when we were talking about the SCAs, some of us were complaining then about the fact that it does slightly degrade your signal. I'm not going to get into the technical sideband junk about it. Eyes will glaze over. So, yes, we had that debate. Oh, that debate's from the 20th century, I remember. Might have been the 80s, early 90s. And so, yes, all of this is true, and it would be certainly good if Pacifica management would make it, and the PNB would make it so that the stations got paid for this.
Well, so
all right,
I'm
anyway,
actually
yes,
it myself. I just wanted to update you that I will be going to the Spanish carrier and be basically saying to them, you either pay or come up with some kind of plan going forward, otherwise we'll turn it off. And so that's coming. And I have the authority to do that.
Oh, okay. So Pacifica Management says it's okay for you to do that.
Yes, exactly so.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Tell them, you know, free ride's over. I mean, BAI is getting pressed all over the place. We can't afford to give it all away. All right. Anybody else
have
any questions?
Mario,
well,
to the stack.
Let's see if anybody else has questions. Anybody
Mario
else?
Mario.
James,
yeah.
Allie Murphy. Anybody else have a question for the general manager? Okay. Let's go with Mario.
Okay. A couple of observations, and then there's a question at the end that I think affects finances. I mean, it is a finance meeting, but at the LSB report to the listener and here at the finance, it's all about running the show and not much talk about the qualities of the performance in the show and how are we going to. So now we have talk about the QM and ratings and Nielsen ratings and all this, and we have 130,000 people listening, and we got to get that money. And then that's where it ends. Nobody has a plan. There's no fund, no donation that's going to go towards promotion. And I'm not talking about hire an internet marketing person, but I mean a total plan. There's no plan to talk to the people in your listening area and get them enrolled. How crafty? There's no craft, nothing like that. It's we're going to fool them, we're going to try to milk them. And we're going to tell people how great we run the show. See how great we are running the show? So you should give us money. And then it's not about the quality of the shows. As we are having this meeting, there is a show that it constantly breaks format. And so that's my question, but I have another observation or two. And one is the loan is close to $2 million, or it is $2 million. And we're paying just the interest. And last time I figured, that interest is about 40-something thousand a quarter. That's it. And everybody, it's the elephant in the room, and nobody wants to really look at that, and that's a big problem. Now, I also heard that we're accepting money from the Rockefeller Foundation. That's interesting. There's one for you. They're pro-Israel, pro-everything else. There's Svengalis that created this problem with the dynamics of getting the North and South against each other about climate change, all right? And they created all that. And then about the loan itself, does anybody know if this organization that we got a loan from is actually pro-Israel or has people pro-Israel? Because the station's stance is it's not. It would like peace and not be that way. So my question, there are programs that constantly break format. So as we have this meeting, I'd like to know from the manager if he thinks that affects the bottom line also,
so,
and creates
so
a duality.
Okay, so,
and the program is off the hook. It's not talking about computing and hacking in as it relates to whatever. It's talking about politics and talking about Trump. But it's a computer hacker show. So there, the shows are supposed to have a format, and they're supposed to pretty much stay to it. You want to have a comment? Yeah. But then if you go off like this, so I think it affects the bottom line because it, you know, I'm tuning in. I want to hear that. Then I'm going to tune out. I'm going to tune out. That's it. You don't have to be a radio computer programming scientist and marketing scientist to know I'm going to tune off. It's up to the manager and the program director to talk to these people and say, keep to your format, man. All right. Do you think it affects the bottom line, the general manager?
So there's like so much wrong with the spiel that you've like. And so I would say that the folks that have that show have developed a constituency. And so I look at these shows. I think that we have to respect the legacy producers that are there. I think that they, and that's one of the things we've been able to do is respect the autonomy of producers. I think that we have to, this is not a commercial enterprise. And so I think that they've had we do have some metrics about BA Buddies. About who's, you know, been able to make traction there. I think that you're taking a commercial rubric and then trying to apply it to a very unconventional free, you know, place for somebody really, let me finish. I listened to what you said in its entirety.
Yeah.
The thing that makes BI unique is that, and by extension Pacifica, is that people who have the discipline and fortitude, whether it be, LOL, whatever, there is lots of shows on that I would say, hey, they don't fit, you know, what they would do at WNYC, but they deliver a disciplined program that has a worldview and a perspective, and we try to have them respect that. I mean, I think that that's, if they have the interest and discipline to come up with the program every week, and if they engage in efforts to try to do fundraising and are supportive of the collective effort, I think they have to be supported. I don't think that we have this kind of Politburo that goes around and says, hey, your program is breaking format. I think that's – as long as they're out of there. Now, I do have problems with people that will take too long and, for instance, don't get out by 54 – and that's breaking format, and that's a problem, and people do hear from us about that.
Well,
okay,
so
the general manager having weighed in on that, hold on, Mario. The general manager having weighed in on that, I have a thing or two to say about this exact thing myself. Breaking format, geez, it's, you know, it's WBAI, and it's not something where we are rigidly locked into things. And given what's going on right now, it is very difficult not to talk about it. I mean, there are people who are dismantling democracy per se in the United States. If you're on the radio, how do you not talk about that? I mean, we are talking about it on my program much more than we used to because it is so dangerous. We could see some very historically bad things happen in America soon. We should not be silent about that. As for the ratings, I won't go into my whole rant about this, which I used to do many years ago, but the ratings are there for commercial stations. That's how they do it. Here's how ratings work. They get the ratings. They come in. The program director looks at it, you know, and says, yeah, okay, generally looks at it, usually doesn't do much about it, and hands it to the marketing department. Marketing department then takes the ratings and starts putting out sheets that say how much, you know, they can charge for 1 minute of advertising on that station. That's what those ratings are for. It's relatively simple, not perfectly simple, relatively simple. Using those ratings as a sole criterion is lethal for stations that are non-commercial because you're using something that's meant for a commercial station and you're a non-commercial station and there are other factors that are very important that you are missing. So that's how that works. All right. Anybody? Okay.
Good night.
Let's let James Sagerton go. He's next. James, go ahead.
Thank you, R. Paul. Bob, I want to congratulate you on all of the progress that you're making, and I hope to see the good results from that in the future. I just want to say something about the style, and I guess it's your style, and I don't know if there's anything to be done about it. We all develop a style at this point in our lives. Most of us are older. But the chest beating is... I just uncomfortable for me, and especially when it has to do with comparisons to prior management. And for the last 13 months, we haven't had to rely on anybody for help with our payroll, unlike in the past. But unlike in the past, in the last 13 months, or at least in the last two fiscal years, we got almost $500,000 in bequests that we didn't get in the past. And I consistently don't hear any acknowledgement or gratitude directed towards the families and the people who made those bequests. And there seems to be this underlying idea that it's all because we have great new management. And I just, again, I've said it to you before, it's unseemly. And I don't think it's, if you had been saying we had these lovely bequests from the such and such families, that would have been a much more positive approach, in my opinion, than sort of implying that it was because of your own doing. That's all. Thank you.
No, we didn't. I would just say that when you're describing, I have always said when we had a bequest, I've tracked it down, told you about it, mentioned it, reported it. I have not claimed that it was revenue that I raised, nor that my team raised. When you're asking me for my manager's report, I give you a report about where this institution is relative to the immediate past, particularly because right now, and it's not chest beating, it has to do with the dynamic with Pacifica, which Paul Martin and many of our illustrious members today spend a lot of time on, about the dynamic between Pacifica and BAI. And so that is the point of that comparison, because it's accurate and it's important.
If I may come back a little bit, R. Paul, just one.
Of course.
Yes.
Asking R. Paul. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I am fully on board with the approach to the dynamics between Pacifica and WBAI, and, I'm also very concerned about how this one bequest of almost $250,000 is being accounted for. We know what it was spent for. We don't know where the accounting is for that and whether it's to WBAI's benefit or whether it's still being accrued, as against our deficit. So, but again, the point I was making is that when you're comparing where we stand now on payroll without mentioning the very generous bequests that we had, about $250,000 each. It's an opportunity. I would look at it as an opportunity to encourage more bequests and hopefully develop a giving program eventually and encourage other people to do similar things. Let them know that they're remembered and it's valued.
I would say where it was critical, and I've talked about this, is the tower rent. And we didn't get into that today. But the fact we've been able to retire the tower rent twice is directly a result of bequests, and I said that at the time.
Somebody's got, let me look at this. Okay. All right, it stopped.
Mario to the stack.
No, not right now, Mario. Okay, James, I think you're done. Yes, James, I think you're done, right? So next is Allie Murphy.
I am done. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, thank
Allie
you.
Murphy, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, Mr. Henley.
Hi.
I think I have two questions for you. One is you mentioned about the PSA, and I'm not sure if you said that you collected $2,000. Can you explain that about the $2,000 and the PSA? And the next question that I also have for you is that we were talking about the FCC and that WBI paid the $25,000 on a fine for what happened with the FCC. We had to pay that $25,000. But now I hear our poll mentioning that the other station, they still find a way for premium, and they don't been penalized for this. Is there is any way that you could raise this issue with Stephanie? Because how can it be so unfair that we pay $25,000 and these people, this other station, and doing things that they should be penalized for? Thank you.
So thank you, and thank you for the question, and thank you for participating in this. So that $25,000 payment, I believe, happened on May 19th. Or, Paul, that was May. I'm not entirely sure that that came out of directly out of BAI.
Hold on. I believe.
Pardon?
Are you echoing or is somebody interfering?
I'm just on my same phone.
Okay, let's all be quiet for a second. Let me see where this is coming from. Okay. All right, I think I got it fixed. Okay, continue, Mr. Henley.
So I'm not entirely clear, because that settlement with the FCC and that payment, it did not come out of it on my watch. Now, did it come out before I took over in June of last year? I don't know. But I will tell you that I think there's a habit of thinking here about BAI being separate and different from Pacifica. And I know there's a tremendous amount of energy being expended by very sincere people that believe that they have to, that BAI itself is separate and that they have to fight for its interests and that its interests can't be represented well within the existing framework of Pacifica. And so all I can just tell you is that the legal fees to get us out of this dwarf the $25,000, and BAI did not pay those. I would tell you it's just off the top of my head, you're into hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it just wasn't, I know, R. Paul, I so respect the years you put in, the program you do, and I accept the fact that we just see this differently. And you are a stalwart of supporting BAI. You come through with the program, and you come through with this commitment to volunteer hundreds of hours over your lifetime. But I am just trying to say that the reality is that Pacifica and BAI are one in the same, and that the current administration, the leadership, is looking to the programs that are on BAI for ideas for the overall affiliate. We're working like we never did before, and we never talk about that. We never talk about the positive developments where 25 stations throughout the Pacific affiliate filed for We Decide for Hands-Off Day. Another 20 at No Kings Day. There's been no discussion on this call about the rolling coverage of No Kings Day coast to coast in a collaboration with KPFA and 25 other stations. That is significant. And so I'm just saying, like, it's a work in progress, but I do believe we're turning the corner in terms of this idea that BAI is a laggard or that BAI has to be punished. And these issues about what happened with it was also, we got off light considering what else was going on. I mean, one of the things I didn't get to share with you is we have finally gotten to open all the boxes that contain hundreds of books that had been ordered or sent and now are for the first time have an inventory of all of the considerable holdings that we have. It meant through going through all kinds of mouth poop, and we've just gotten to the bottom of cartons and cartons of expired special New Age products that were there for years. We just cleaned the floor underneath that back room there. So I'm just saying that there has been a lot of progress. There needs to be more. There needs to be national fundraising. It's very frustrating for me that Pacifica itself couldn't get $50,000 from a union. Why is that on me? And it is true that if this is going to be a going enterprise, there has to be national fundraising. One of the things we're trying to do right now is start a national reporting project with all of the stations going to cover and ask, how is healthcare in my community? And going and doing the work of going to the hospitals and the federal clinics and interviewing people and putting their stories about what's going on, the meltdown of the safety net, and have Pacifica lead that nationally. These are all things that we're doing through We Decide. So anyway, I wanted to share that. I'm sorry. I know people have busy things to do, but that's some of what's going on.
Okay.
I wanted to retort.
I'm sorry, Paul. Mr. Henley, you didn't mention about the $2,000 for the PSA.
Oh, sorry. So what we've done is, and Harlem Express got the ball rolling when we first started. They got a great deal with the Metropolitan Museum of Art. So one of the things you need to know is that we can only do this kind of thing with other nonprofits. And so what it is that you do a cart, Reggie, Michael, Max, whoever's available, records a cart that announces, in this case it was the Nat King Cole Lights Out, and then we do a banner ad. And because we couldn't certify how many people was reaching, $2,000, and that comes in, and that is, we did the Taxi Workers Alliance. You may have heard that also if you listen to the radio. The Taxi Workers Alliance had this major award of $350 million. It was going to go to Uber and Lyft drivers, but they needed to collect it by a certain date. The Taxi Workers Alliance, knowing of our role with unions and our popularity with taxi cab drivers, they came to us and gave us $1,500, and we made a public service announcement announcing how people could go about collecting their money that they were owed. So that's how that works.
Okay. All right. Let me get to I had something shows up
there
here.
Anybody else?
Okay. With regard to this.
I have a comment.
Okay. Hold on a second. Let me address this. We'll do a new stack. With regard to the idea of BAI and Pacifica are not separate, I think that you're gonna maybe notice that not everybody agrees with that concept in Pacifica. I can only go by what I have seen in the past bunch of years. And so, yes, if that becomes the way we're all going to look at it, that'll be fine. But I'm seeing evidence that this isn't happening. People are saying things about WBAI that are not very nice, and they definitely have a knife out for WBAI. They make no, they don't hide it.
Fair point, and I'm not quibbling. If you, it's the power of your observation. You have the experience. You know the players better than I do. But someone like Fred Dodsworth, would you consider him to be somebody that is on, quote unquote, on the other side?
Yes.
Okay, so after every time I send him, we decide. I get and every time we've done programming that included the other stations, he goes out of his way to write a 3-paragraph congratulations. This is so great that BI is doing these things. Thank you for the leadership of the station. Now, is he duplicitous? Maybe. I just have to share that with you. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but, you know, and it would be wise. Listen, after what the traumatic event of 2019, which was a soft kind of violence, I can understand your skepticism.
Well, it's not just then. But anyway, there you go. I just wanted to say that and put that out there. And all right, so Allie, I think you're done. And let me go up to the okay.
Paul, I just wanted to say to Mr. Henley, because the reason that I asked about the PSA and now that now that people are paying for it, I used to be with a group that we did social justice. And it was when a stop and freeze came around, and also a stop mass incarceration. And I know that we used to get a PSA at WBAI, and I noted, you know, we didn't pay for it. I was just wondering if now WBAI would start charging.
So the PSAs, and we do these all the time. I'm so sorry we didn't clarify that. It's not exclusive. It's the combination where you say, we want a piece of the web. We want a nice drawing of Nat King Cole, which is an advertising function, and a PSA. We do run Mumia stuff all the time. We still have a core mission to make sure that free of charge, those PSAs can get on.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Thank you.
Okay, let's do a new stack. Anybody else want to be in a new stack?
I'd like Mario. To say something.
There you go. Have her go first.
Okay. Oh, Kay hasn't spoken yet. We'll let her go. So hold on. So we have Kay. We have Mario. Anybody else want
James.
To be on stack? Who?
James, please.
Staggerton,
James.
Yes. Anybody else want to be on a stack? Okay, we'll go with those three. Kay, go ahead.
Okay, I have 2 points to make. One is about the criticism about taking money from the Rockefeller Foundation. Just want to let you all know, I've studied public health, including public health history, and you may not realize the Rockefeller Foundation's original name was the Rockefeller Sanitary Commission for the Eradication of Hookworm. I kid you not. It was started by the parasitologist who discovered the connection between not wearing shoes, footage disease, anemia, and poor school performance. So there's that. You know, it's not necessarily black and white when it comes to nonprofits giving us money. That's the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing is, I mean, that was hopefully positive. The second thing is probably negative. If you're going to talk about one of the stations separating itself from Pacifica, wouldn't it be the station that is so secretive they have never joined the Bank of America along with everybody else? Mm-hmm. The one that's so secretive that they don't even have financial reports for their own local station board, that are so secretive that, you know, during the pandemic, they only held 3 meetings a year, not the required every other month that they claim. Because if you go to KPFTX, you can prove that. Wouldn't that be the station that's trying to separate itself from Pacifica? The one that's trying to take control of all the rest of Pacifica? I'm sorry. I think that whole way of considering it is from one point of view and not from my point of view. That's all. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Kay.
Thank you.
Mario, you're next. Oh, wait, Mr. Henley, did you have anything to say on that?
Oh, no.
You don't
I
have
just
to.
Thank you for the comment. That's all.
Okay. Mario, you got it. You got the floor.
Our ball, point of information.
Okay, who's this?
This is Jack. You're not streaming when I checked it 10 minutes ago.
Oh, okay, so we're not streaming. All right, thanks for letting me know. Mario, you have the floor.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a mute. There was noise. Okay, so am I on?
You're on.
Hello?
Mario,
yeah.
You have the floor.
It's Mario. Our Paul.
Go ahead, Mario.
Okay. So I want to point out that my questions were not answered at all directly. It was, around the periphery of it. You know, I asked, does it affect the bottom line? And I have to guess that the answer is he doesn't think so. I will tell you that it does. If you have the whole grid of the shows on one day, and they're supposed to be of a certain topic, it's a principle thing. And then if everybody says, well, I'm just going to cover current events, I'm going to cover the president, I'm going to cover the Middle East, I'm going to cover the same stuff. And all I have to do is say, when I tune in myself, if it's the same buzzwords and the same talk that I heard about 2-3 hours ago, I'm going to turn away. And if I tune in at 6 o'clock and it's the same talk that I heard at 11 o'clock, I'm going to turn away. That's it. There's no, oh, he's too political or he's really, really staunch and he's really positioned. It's not. I'm very flexible. You're going to say the same stuff. I'm going to tune away. You don't take phone calls. I'm going to tune away. And that affects the bottom line because everything on the daily grid starts to become a hammer and then everything is a nail. And so if I had a cooking show, I'm pretty sure the manager would not appreciate if like 3 weeks in a row I talked about Trump, but I have a cooking show. Right? So it's this is like Radio 101. It's not, what's this stuff about?
So.
Well, we're kind of fluid and it's VAI and we,
Mario,
the people at 2600, the people at 2600, they were under other managers even before that. So Maury Marksman would not let them do that. They know better. And again, there is no plan. It sounds very corporate to me. I'm almost done, 30 seconds. It sounds very corporate to me. Everything sounds very corporately done, but it's like with the cover of, well, no, it's nonprofit. Well, nonprofit's a corporation. It's just nonprofit. Doesn't pay taxes. And the Rockefeller Foundation is the Rockefeller Foundation. That's the way they work. Undercover. You know, they give money to organizations to stop global warming, but yet they drill oil. I mean, come on. All right, that's it. And I have to sign off. And I'm in Westchester.
Oh.
And I'm in the Woodstock area, and I heard Bonnie Faulkner. There's a station up here that plays her shows. So my suggestion to the team there, the management, is reach out to Bonnie Faulkner again, a great investigative reporter. See if you can get her back on. And they're playing her recorded show. So I don't know if she's sick. I don't know if she whatever. But Bonnie Faulkner, Guns and Butter. Thank you very
All
much.
Right. All right. Next, Mr. Henley, I don't think you'd want to.
Well, no, I was, when he said Radio 101, I wanted to know when he got to work in radio. I wanted to know professional background was, but he left.
Okay. Next person is James Sagerton. You have the floor.
Thanks, Chair. Bob, I have a quick question and then another question after that. I'll just let you answer when I get them out. you said something about, I wasn't clear if it was hundreds of boxes of books or boxes of hundreds of books. If you could just clarify that. And then the other thing is, I'm not going to mention any names, but the name was mentioned on this call already. We have a chair of the NFC who repeatedly says that WBAI has cost Pacifica $9 million, which has been debunked by corporate counsel. He's counting things like the FJC loan, which was caused by the arrearages in the partly by the causes of the arrearages in the Empire State Building, and the decision to move to Wall Street and to the Empire State Building were Pacifica decisions. That goes to your point that there's no entity such as WBI. WBI can't go make a lease with the Empire State Building.
Right.
Pacifica
right.
did that. And this individual continues to say, and has a cohort of friends who continue to say, with no correction from the executive director or anyone else other than our Paul and some others, that WBI owes $9 million and cost to the network $9 million. So this is what we're up against, Bob. And I certainly hope you're aware of that and you're not kind of being naive here because, yeah, the knives are out. They're out for us. And if you're not aware of that and protecting WBI as an entity within Pacifica, that's going to be a problem because you're going to get a surprise like so many other people who've tried to work with these people have gotten a surprise in the long run. So I caution you, and I hope, you know, you got your eyes wide open, as I'm sure you do.
So it's important, like that phrase has never been uttered to me in person. I'm glad to hear it because it's always best to have 360. What we have is, I'm trying to give an example of like, I Married a Munster, which is a very sweet book. We found a case of them. There's like, I would say it's like, it looks like a mini Strand bookstore. I mean, it's hard. I spent the whole, Chris Lapuzzo and myself, it was like grueling, but it was like five decent shelves with books packed on it. I would say 80 different titles, some of them as many as 30 copies. They were all in boxes. And some of the boxes were, I'm glad we got to it because we had to remember we had a water issue back there. And so part of, so one of the things we're doing is a labor intensive work of seeing, are these books owed as a premium? And then if they're not, then we will, you know, try to use it to the benefit of the station financially. And so that's all part of reconfiguring the space. We got the big room that had access to the transmitter and the Ethernet, and we're moving Matt Maz's desk. He's going to have a better window, and moving his, and we'll have two news desks in there and then Matt's desk. And there's a whole bunch of other, like one room in Tony Ryan's old room, floor to ceiling of either obsolete electronic equipment or stuff that can be used. And all of it, we're going through every bit of it because we're not going to pay rent. I mean, we got the rent down to $2,500, but we're not going to rent any space to include deferred decisions. And that was what's been in that space. Also, we're paying special attention to the fact that we may have CDs of programs that don't exist on the air that have not been recorded. So we're going through the very careful process of cataloging all the CDs in there because James Irsay's program and all the rest of it. Those of you who've been trying to use, you know, we go back to 2019 online, and when I wanted to do something nice for Andrea Sears, I had to reach out to Otis, and we only go back to 2014. So I am concerned that we need to capture the legacy of what's there. So all this is going on. You guys there?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that, Bob.
I appreciate that answer. If I could just get that clarification I was initially looking for, and I think I got it. It's not hundreds of boxes of books. It's boxes with hundreds of books, right?
Right. Thank you, sir. Right.
Sounds like it. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it, Bob.
Okay. All right, next is, let me go up here. And that's that exhausts that stack. Anybody else have anything more for the interim general manager? Okay, if not, then we can go to the next item. There's no objection.
Thank you all.
Thank you for showing up, Mr. Henley, and thanks for giving us information.
Thank you.
Okay. And the next item then is a set next meeting date. New business comes later. Look at the agenda I sent out. It comes after this. Okay, set next meeting date. Let me get to where that is. Okay. Doing it the way we've been doing it, that would mean August 20th. So I'm going to make that motion. Oh, God, I just hit the wrong thing. Okay. I move that we meet next on August 20th at 7 p.m. in this usual way. Okay. Is there any debate on that motion? Hearing none. Is there any objection to going to a vote on that? Hearing no objection to that. Is there any objection to passing the motion to meet next on August 20th at 7 p.m.? Hearing none. Passed without objection. And now we are at new business. Does anybody have any new business?
Yes, unfortunately I do.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me get this set here and get a time on it. And okay, let's take a stack. Is that K?
Yes.
We have K. I think Allie somebody else wanted to do something in new business. All right, Kay, you go ahead.
I don't.
Yeah, let's let Kay go ahead now, and then I think there will be time for somebody else who wants to do new business. Kay, go ahead.
Hi, I made a mistake before. I need to amend my motion about accepting the minutes. My memory was I sent the minutes for this group and the same night. I sent them for the board, and I can't prove it to myself. I can't prove it to any of y'all. So I just resent it tonight. So I think I need to table or postpone approving the minutes for June until the next meeting because you all only got it tonight. And I
we've already passed the motion, so you can't postpone something that's been done. Let me look at
this rescinded.
All right. I see that you mailed it to the committee there. Let me let's see. Going back through stuff and I'm not seeing. Oh, you may not have sent it. Okay. Do you want to make a motion to reconsider? Do you want to make a motion to reconsider the motion to pass the minutes?
Yes, Howard. Yes, that sounds
okay.
Great.
Okay. And let's reconsider. Reconsider the minutes. Okay. Okay, so that's a motion on the floor. The motion is to reconsider the motion to pass the minutes. Is there any debate on that? Is there any objection to passing the motion to reconsider the minutes, which means that motion is back on the floor. So that's what that would mean. Is there any objection to reconsidering those minutes? Hearing that, it's passed without objection. So the motion to, I have to get back to it, to grab the minutes. Where is it?
Postpone.
I'm getting it here. Okay, the motion is, why won't this work? The motion is to reconsider, the motion is to approve the minutes of the June 18th meeting. That's on the floor. You want to make a motion to postpone that?
Yes, to postpone it until next meeting to give people a chance to review.
Yeah, okay. So the motion is to postpone. Okay. That motion is on the floor. Now it's a motion to postpone the approval of the June 18th minutes. Any debate on that? Any objection to going to a vote? Any objection to postponing the motion to approve the June 18th minutes to the next meeting? To the next meeting, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a motion to postpone them to Okay, to the next meeting. Any objection to that? Hearing none. Pass without objection. Okay. Somebody else want to do some new business?
Yeah, this is Joan.
Okay, Joan, go ahead.
Okay, it's not about the finances, but I want to invite everybody to come to the Pacifica Fight Back Town Hall on this Saturday, July 19th. It's at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, where we're going to discuss the illegal bylaws and see if what we can do about them, or if there's anything we can do about them. We want to invite everybody with their ideas about what we can do.
Okay. All right. Okay, so that's your announcement.
Paul, can I add something to what Joni just said?
Go ahead.
Yes, that town hall, there are going to be some presentations, and I guess the person will be presenting the old bylaws and the new bylaws, what I call the Frankenstein, the fake bylaws. So to my understanding, there are some people in this finance committee that they are experts, that they really, really know the bylaws. So it would be nice for some of you to attend, or all of you to attend that town hall. So if there is anybody saying something that is not correct, or the people that will be presenting, you know, the one and the two, the old one and the new one, maybe you could ask something, because we're going to talk about, like Joni said, what can we do, because this is affecting all of us, including this finance committee. Our poll no longer. It's part of the National Finance Committee. So I just wanted, like she did, the same thing, to invite all of you to that town hall, if it's possible. You do have to register, because we had an incident, a really nasty incident, and that we still, some of us, I'm still upset about it, and it did affect me. So I don't want to talk about it anymore, but and that is the reason that we're asking people to register, not for any special reason that we want people information or anything. It's because what happened before. Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay. All right. So I will. Okay, I'm doing too many things at once here.
Bobby, I speak. This is Jack.
Hold on a second, Jack. Oh, damn it. Okay. Hold on. As I said, I'm doing too many things at once right here. Somebody was clearing their throat or something before, and
it was me.
I was trying to find them, and I can't find them, but they stopped it. So, okay. I'll live with that. Okay. All right. So who else wants to be on new business?
Oh, this is Matt.
Matt, go ahead.
I have a question. This town hall meeting, can it be a phone, like dialing in a phone, past meeting ID?
I believe it's true, Matt. You could actually do Zoom on a telephone, as well as it might be a Zoom meeting on a computer.
Okay. Can we have that information?
Hi, Matt. Paul, I'm going to have to sign off. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any other new business? I think I had a little something to reply to about that, but I can't remember it, so there it goes. All right. Anybody else have anything else they want to do here tonight?
No, I wanted to get the internet Zoom by phone.
What is it you want, Matt?
the phone numbers for the Zoom town hall, like by phone?
Oh.
Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may have to get a computer to access the phone numbers to call in. Unfortunately,
okay.
they support it online more than they support it through some type of telephone app. I don't know of a telephone app.
Okay,
I know people that can do Zoom on their telephone as a video, but it has call-in numbers because it does call-in and video on a computer. So go online, look for it, get the number if you want, and you got to sign in anyhow.
Well, I could sign in.
You have to sign in.
Since Joan is probably here, why don't we ask Joan to give Matt the phone number?
You have to go to pacificafightback.org for all the information.
I'm not hearing you too clearly.
Matt, are you able to do that on? Are you able to access that stuff at their website?
I didn't hear what you said. Website.
Say it again, Joan.
I'm on pacificafightback.org, and it tells me to go and register. So. I'm registering. Let me see what I get. It just says you have successfully registered, so then maybe they send it to you. I don't know.
Okay.
Go to pacificafightback.org.
Okay. Pacificafightback.org.
The announcement for the town hall.
Okay, that's
Okay,
pacificaflightback.org.
Okay. All right. I think you've cleared that up. Is there any other business anybody has, or does anybody want to make a motion to adjourn? I'll make a motion to adjourn. So, I move that we adjourn. Is there any objection to the motion to adjourn? Hearing none, the motion is passed without objection. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on August 20th. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.